So our first two presentations were mostly focused on unstructured data. You heard about Google search engines and social media and how the trust can be established, recognized, and maybe put to good use. But now we would move towards more structured data and big, large, complex data sets that are now increasingly available and see what can be done for public health using them. Our speaker, Dr. Mary Barden, received her bachelor's from Yale College, New Haven, Connecticut, and her Doctor of Medicine from Harvard Medical School. Dr. Barden trained in internal medicine at Brigham and Women Hospital in Boston and completed a general medicine research fellowship at Harvard. She is now serving as vice president of National Committee for Quality Assurance and Performance Measurement. So I invite Dr. Barden.
Thank you very much. It's this really tremendous opportunity for me to be here and hear about what is going on in the social media world, because that's not where I live, and this is just terrific. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the questions of data and denominator. Really, in any interrogation of any data set, the main question, and this has been, of course, highlighted in the two previous presentations, are what is the purpose for which you need this information? And so I've just listed out a few kinds of purposes here. Obviously, surveillance is something that this group knows way more than I do about. But I've just listed a few examples of why you might want to do surveillance. You might be looking at issues related to a pathogen, to issues of infectivity, to issues of resistance. You might have need of this data for public health tracking. An alternative purpose, or one that is really distinct and requires potentially distinct methods, is for the question of quality measurement. So when we consider the role of the public health system or the healthcare system, or the combined efforts of the two, we're certainly interested to understand how effective is the care that's being provided to patients who have a disease. And we're also interested to consider the outcomes of all those dollars that we spend, either in clinical care or in public health care. And so without measuring, you'll not know, right? So you don't understand, and you can't improve what you don't track. That's kind of the mantra in the quality measurement world. So for some interest I had in animation here, forgive me, what I wanted to say was that, you know, the quality improvement really requires these different methods, because the question becomes one of accountability. When we're doing public health surveillance for resistance in an organism, we don't consider culpability. You know, there's not really an issue of performance bonus or withhold for the germ, right? So in contrast, when we're talking about accountability in the healthcare system or potentially in the public health system, we're looking to say, what is the responsibility of those providers or of that system to do what? And so that's, you know, whether you're talking about to screen everybody who's of the age who should be screened, or to track down and treat the partners of all the cases that were found, or, you know, whatever the imperative is to really improve the health outcomes for the population. So some examples of denominators that I have thought about, and I'm sure you could think of more, would be series. So all the positive syphilis tests in a county, that would be a series of patients. Program level data or information, so that might go to a public health department or potentially a school-based health clinic or another kind of population program like that. There are population denominators, and so this is really, I think, most of interest and traditionally of interest in the public health world, to think about a state as an area of responsibility. And in contrast to that, the healthcare world tends to more think about attributed population because of the idea that the responsibility for providing healthcare has to track with where a person or a patient has sought healthcare. And so that connection needs to be made because of the fact that there are, in contrast to public health departments, there are a multiplicity of options in the healthcare world. And so if we're going to preserve people's opportunity to choose, we would have to then hold responsible the person that they chose. And so I've just put a couple of examples up here. You know, why would you want to know how many cases there were, how many positive tests? Well, an interesting numerator over that denominator would be the, you know, successful contact tracking. You might have a use for series to determine what was the incidence of new cases over a county's population. But what the area of the data that I work with is in health plan reporting. So HEDIS, or the Healthcare Effectiveness Data and Information Set, is something that's been used by the National Committee for Quality Assurance for over 20 years to receive performance measure data from health insurance plans who are taking responsibility and accountable for the denominator of people enrolled in that health plan. And who are then held to the sequence of transparency and public reporting that NCQA holds them to. And so just for effect there, the football stadium, HEDIS measures cover 136 million lives, or 43% of the U.S. population. As I was saying before, health plans report on their quality data to NCQA in order to be accredited by NCQA. Our guidelines for reporting data are highly specified and cover things like enrollment criteria, the ages of the included population, any exclusions that might be based on current or former clinical diagnoses or medications, et cetera. And NCQA's mission is to transform healthcare quality through measurement, transparency, and accountability. The beauty of what my organization has done and why I really believe in this capacity of an organization like ours to transform healthcare quality is because we link up the performance measures with a machinery that engages the accurate reporting of data. So this is really a maybe a time for another panel, a consideration of how parallel systems in this country, like, for example, the public health system, collects data and uses data compared with other sorts of structured data efforts. So I'll just mention that this is an interest of mine if anybody wants to talk about it, but the machinery that NCQA uses then for health plan reporting includes a data collection system, an auditing expectation, so field folks who go out and actually make sure that health plans are reporting the truth. And then what we do with the data is to create benchmarks and percentiles and ratings so that health plans who report information to us are then scored against all of their peers. So I'm going to give you just a little example, and I know the time here is short. Chlamydia screening is one measure that is has been long used in the NCQA system. We have a denominator of women between the ages of 16 and 24 who have a kind of an interesting, have the slides been off center the whole time? Oh my God. I'm so sorry. Hopefully they'll be able to be uploaded to the conference system and folks will be able to look at them later, or certainly if you want to follow up with me afterwards, I'll be glad to share them. You did see the football stadium though, didn't you? Yeah, okay. So the chlamydia measure looks for people who, according to the health plan data, are likely to be sexually active. And so it uses an algorithm to look for prescriptions of birth control as well as claims or from encounter data of, you know, pregnancy tests or other kinds of indicators that are typically tracking with sexual activity. And then it looks for the numerator to see claims of the receipt of one or more chlamydia screening tests. And what I'm going to show on the next slide is a 10-year run chart of the health plan performance, looking at Medicaid versus commercial health plans, as well as, I think, HMO versus PPO. So here we have the green line on the top is the Medicaid health maintenance organizations. The solid red line is commercial health maintenance organizations, and the dotted line is commercial PPO, or preferred provider organizations. So what you can see is a steady increase since 2002 to 2012 in improved rates for chlamydia screening in the relevant age group, and probably in one of the few examples where we see improved access to care in a Medicaid setting. This is an example where you have more attention to the problem of sexually transmitted diseases and certainly a much probably overrepresented number of women in this childbearing age group as well in most states. So that's a way that you could use population-based data in a way that rolls up to a whole population, like as shown in this graph, but at the same time is used by potentially employers who are choosing health plans for their employees, because the quality rating is associated with the health plan. And then within health plans use this kind of data to do quality improvement programs with their clinicians and their providers or their provider groups or sites, because they might say, well, we have to report this at the end of the year, so we'd like you to track it quarter by quarter and see how you're doing. So I'm going to end there and look forward to discussion with all the panelists, and thank you very much.
Thanks so much. The floor is now open for a few questions. We have two monitors that have microphones in the two aisles, so if you would like to pose a question to any one of our panelists.
There's just one microphone.
Sorry, just one great question can be posed.
No, microphone. There's one microphone.
Oh, just one, okay. One microphone, more questions. Okay, she'll just have to run around.
If people can come to me, that way it will take less time. You can line up if you. I'll come to you.
Hi, my name is Melissa Habel. I'm with the Division of STD Prevention at CDC. My question is for Amy and Supriya. Sorry if I just butchered your name. Given that a lot of our at-risk populations probably only have access to smartphones for internet searching, I was wondering if you have any plans to look at surveillance in regard to mobile trends for searching for STD symptoms and things like that.
Thanks for your question. So right now, the ability to look at the search engine terms is dependent on the Google Trends interface, and it doesn't distinguish between internet searches made on mobile devices versus any other type of device. So, but that's something that working with Google as a partner, maybe we could look at to better understand the users and how they're accessing the internet. Yeah, thanks.
My name is Denver Munn from Vanderbilt University. The Google Trends analysis that suggested a reasonable correlation between gonorrhea surveillance data and the Google Trends hits data was certainly fascinating, and as you stated, opens up a whole new world of potential for surveillance. But you didn't find that association with chlamydia, so I'm wondering about how can one triangulate a variety of databases to try to mimic surveillance and see if perhaps the Google Trends could just be one of several tools. For example, it comes to mind pharmaceutical data and characteristic drugs that are being used and the trends for the purchase of those drugs. There must be a whole mountain of other data that you've considered to sort of network with this Google Trends data.
So thank you for the question, and there's a couple things that I'll answer. One is about the triangulation of the databases, and that's definitely in our future directions and recommendations, which is that we need to know more about the users, we need to know more about the data itself to be able to know if it really can have predictive capacity. And so that's a big question that remains. And it's been used in, with predictive accuracy for flu, for West Nile virus, and tuberculosis, but those systems are very sophisticated, and the CDC for Google Flu Trends, as well as the other investigators for other diseases, are working directly with Google for that. So that's, you know, we highly recommend that that's going to be necessary for STDs as well, to really use all of that data appropriately. And then secondly, you brought up a really good example of matching the search engine data to pharmacologic regimens. So there have been studies done that look at search engine data for disease and drug names, and that does correlate well with drug utilization patterns that have specificity for diseases. So there are specific drug regimens that are used for STIs, and we have used that as within hospital surveillance, looking for accuracy of adherence and for unreported disease. So if you look for specific drug regimens, you can identify either that person was suspected of having an STI, but it wasn't reported, or there was no laboratory test done. So you can use these different pieces to improve the accuracy and the sensitivity of detection by using, as you say, triangulating multiple different databases and different algorithms.
Any other question? Okay. And if people can come to the microphone.
Hi, this question is addressed to Dr. Barton. I'm Janet Arno from Indiana University, and you talked about denominators. And one of the concerns that we have is sort of the where people will be going. In Massachusetts, where you are, is a really good example that may predict what's happening in the future for the rest of the country. And I wondered, in your denominator data, if you'd linked healthcare quality, and I assume you're able to monitor plans, with other sort of indicators of distribution, such as tests, pharmacy, on an individual level, to see where people are going and if that's changed over time.
That's an excellent question, and I think what I live in Washington, D.C. now, but anyway, what we do see with the HEDIS reporting from health plans are very predictable national trends. So HEDIS measures cover not only STD treatment, but we have over 70 measures that cover really all kinds of healthcare quality. And so you see things that track predictably, you know, with the stroke belt in the southeast, with persistent excellence of care in Minnesota, you know, where where there are markers that demonstrate what the community norms are for certain parts of the country in terms of overall healthcare quality, probably access and quality. But I don't know that we've looked to correlate the data that we have with other sources, as you're suggesting, and that would be sort of an interesting research question that we could potentially pursue. So thank you.
I'm so sorry I've gotten the high sign that we have run out of time, but I really wanted to thank our great panel for presenting their data. I also want to put a plug in if you're interested more about how these big data sets are being used, particularly from electronic health records, please go to the session on Thursday that relates to medical informatics. Still lots to learn and mine. Thanks so much.